Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Some of the best high school basketball in the state is played right here in Southeast Wisconsin. It's time to hear from some of the best high school basketball coaches in the area. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores. Now with former Marquette High and Concordia University coach David Cooks, here's 105.7 FM The Fan's high school insider, Big Time Mike McGivern.
Welcome to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan. And I love talking wrestling with the McGuanago boys and right into basketball with the Elkhorn boys. I'll tell you what, they're having a heck of a year. Josh, it's good to see you again. I met you out at Kettle Moraine, and we had a chance to talk, and I gave you a call and said, hey, do you have any interest? You go, yeah, absolutely. So far, so good this year.
Yeah, we're off to really rolling right now, early in the season, the first couple of weeks. I know when I talked to you at their scrimmage, you asked us about, are we ready to have a mark on us? And I said, well, we'll find out. And early in the year, I think there was a couple games where, I'm not saying we weren't ready, but I think a couple times we got punched in the mouth a little bit, and we kind of slowly but surely, some new guys started to figure it out, and by now we're really rolling, we're playing good basketball.
Well, and we had that conversation, and look, I 36 years of coaching basketball, a couple of things I understand is that transition of being the hunter to the hunted is some kids really relish in that. And other kids don't. Some communities, some schools relish it. Some schools and communities don't. And you made a comment to me that other guys have made, and so I always keep an eye on. You said, look, I don't know how good we're going to be in the beginning, but I'm going to tell you down the stretch, we got a chance to be pretty good again. Before we talk about this year's team, Coach, we have to talk about last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just do. We're also joined by two players that were part of that team. Nick Brown. Nick, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, Devin Davey, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Yeah, good. It's really good. Thanks for asking. You're the first one to ask me so far. Wife and kids are doing great. Thank you. Last year was, I was at Martin Luther, right? So we got up to state, so we got a chance to watch you. I saw you at Pius when you played St. Catharines, and it was a heck of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, ooh, hold on. Elkhorn's, like, they're good. Like, Nick Brown's kind of bouncy. He's pretty good. And those twins, man, are you kidding me? Like, I bet they battle in their parking lot like you can't believe. But, boy, they find each other. And you know what? It was really – St. Catharines was good. I know this because we played them three times. Mm-hmm. And you guys got them over there. And then I thought, okay, well, I looked at kind of your regional sectional and thought, well, they've had a good year. And then all of a sudden, boom. Boom, boom. That run was magical.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm not a person. I don't pay attention to the quote-unquote rankings and a lot of stuff like that. But I feel like we flew under the radar last year, but we knew we were a really, really good basketball team. And it wasn't just that everybody says we caught fire at the end. Well, we were pretty good most of the season. And that St. Cat's win was definitely kind of a highlight in terms of big wins. But we just kind of kept building and stayed under the radar and kept getting better every day and every game. And yeah, then that postseason run, we knew we had quite a tough group of teams, man, to get through between East Troy, who was really good, and well, even Burlington in the first round. Burlington, a program in our conference that's really good every year.
You played them back to back.
We played them back to back.
That's really hard, man.
And they battled us and gave us a really good game in the first round. And they were young and inexperienced, but they fought us and gave us everything we could handle. And then we went to East Troy on a Saturday night in a game where people were getting turned away from the gym, and played really well and were able to beat them. And that's a program that's been to state multiple times within the last 5 to 10 years. And then took on our rival Westosha at Burlington again. It was kind of interesting. We played them in sectionals the year before at Burlington. We were up 25-12 at halftime a couple years ago, and we ended up losing. We just had a bad string of events in the second half and lost a game we felt we should have won. So it was kind of exciting to return to the scene of the crime and play them again in Burlington. And we're able to get a last-second shot to beat them. And then Mount Horeb, we played them at Janesville Craig. And, you know, as you know, Mike, in a sectional final, it's kind of anybody can win. It's whoever settles in and plays. And luckily, we were able to once again get a last-second shot.
I saw that one this morning. I watched that layup that kid hit. And I, you know what? I'll tell you a couple of my thoughts during the break, because I don't want to upset anybody who didn't slide over number 10 from Mount Horeb. I don't want to make anybody mad, but I got to tell you, as a coach, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're going to jab step at that? You're not going to commit to try to take a charge, or at least. And so it was interesting. But what I loved was the atmosphere. And look, I love that stuff, and that's the reason I do this, and the reason I coach so long. But the silence from the Mount Horeb crowd, mm-hmm. and how crazy the Elkhorn crowd went was incredible. And then I watched you guys up at State. Nick, that was what a special moment for you guys and that community. Nicolay was a lot to handle. You know, they were awfully good, and there's some stuff going on at Nicolay. I don't know if you heard, but I'm sure you guys did, because Division II is a whole lot different at this point. Nick, did you know going into last year that you guys had a chance to do something special?
Honestly, going into the year, it started off a little like shaky at times, and once we started like playing really good and got it rolling, I think the State Cats game for me was kind of the turning point.
January 5th, it was 51-49, because I have the schedule, and I sat at that game, and again, I know because they're in the conference I coached in for a long time. St. Catharines is a really well-oiled machine. I mean, they don't back down from anybody, and you guys didn't back down.
Right.
There was no back, and I thought, man, okay, the Elkhorn's a little better than I thought, and you guys ran good stuff, but that from that game on, I think you only had one loss until that Nicolay game.
Right.
Maybe two. Hold on here. No, just one with Scotia Central, and you then beat them. You finally got a win at their gym, or what?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago we went down there, and first time since I've been the varsity coach we've won down there, so it was a good feeling.
Man, that is a good feeling. Devin, you were part of all this last year. The feeling that you had to get to State, there's nothing better than that, is there?
No, it was just a great experience for everyone all around. You know, we finally were clicking together as a team coming down the stretch, and then we really relied on our defense to get us there.
Isn't it amazing how the whole community comes out? All of a sudden, there. You can't go to the grocery store without saying, right? Hey, I saw you at that game and blah, 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 right? There's people that have no natural tie other than living in the community that all of a sudden starts showing up at all the games because I'll tell you the story. I went to a girls game. I wanted to see Beaver Dam play, right? Beaver Dam girls team last year. I wanted to see them play, and they were playing Arrowhead. And I went to see them, and that game was at Pius as well.
Right before ours that.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we saw that one too.
They were unbelievable. And prayers are going out to Coach Chase. He is struggling with some health issues right now. But I was sitting next to an older couple that were all geared up in Beaver Dam gear. And I talked to everybody. I said, who are you guys here to see? Oh, we're here to see the team. I said, do you have a daughter, granddaughter? No? Uh-uh. I said, you drove down from Beaver Dam. Yep. 2 years ago, we just thought, well, we keep hearing about this team, so we went over, and we never miss a game now. This is our date night. Like, this is what we do. And I thought, man, same thing in Elkhorn, I'm sure, last year. People just fell in love with the team, Coach.
Yeah, we're lucky. We're in a great community. They're very supportive of basketball and all sports in general, but we're in a great community that gives us a ton of support. We've tried to really, as a program, turn around and serve our community in different ways besides just playing basketball. I know one of the things these guys had to do this morning to get to come over here was they had to find substitute coaches for their second and third grade basketball teams that they coach. I'm not sure who is the better team this year, guys.
Oh, it's me.
Oh, I don't think so.
Which team's better coached?
Oh,
Yeah, there you go. You're not quite. Have you played against each other, your teams?
Yeah, we did last week.
Who won?
We didn't keep score, but.
Oh, no. You always keep score. Are you kidding me? Who do you think won?
Honestly, I don't know.
It was close.
Yeah,
close.
It was a good game. I think I might have got the better of him.
There you go.
6-4.
6-4. You know what? It wasn't a last second layup. I'm sure. Hey, Josh, you played at Parkside. In fact, we're going to have Luke Riegel on next segment. They got a game up in Michigan, and he said, "Look, I'd love to come on, but our game's at 1:00, which is noon your time. Mm-hmm. How's 10:15?" I said, "Perfect." Yeah. And I know that one of the players here, Nick Brown, is committed to go to Parkside. Mm-hmm. You played at Parkside mm-hmm. as well, so you understand playing at that next level. High school wise, you played at Barneville?
Broadhead.
Yeah. How did you make your way over to Elkhorn? How'd that happen then?
Well, so I went to Parkside and obviously played for Coach Riegel there and was fortunate enough to, when he first got the job, is what I first started playing the head job. He was the assistant when they were recruiting me. It's kind of a funny story. We met each other. I was walking into the bathroom at the UW Advanced Basketball Camp. He was walking out and he introduced himself. So it was kind of an awkward first meeting. But
yeah.
Played there. My senior year was the first time that the program made the NCAA tournament, and that's something I'm still very, very proud of, that we and some of my teammates helped with Coach Riegel to get that program to a much better place. And then I just was lucky enough to get hired in Elkhorn. I was hired to teach social studies and be the JV basketball coach under John Handel, who was the coach for 17 years
there.
Did a great job there. Yeah, he was a great coach. I consider him a very good friend, a good supporter of the program as well. And I learned a lot from him, coached with him for 7 years. And we were on my second year there, we were on the brink of getting to state in Division I, actually. And he had several really close calls and very easily could have been there multiple times as well. That's kind of how I got there. And
do you still wake up in the middle of the night with that double overtime loss to Beloit Memorial? That's gone now, right?
I think luckily
we exercised
the demons at Janesville Craig, because that was, once again, talk about returning to the scene of the crime a little bit. That was an unbelievable game that I can't believe that was 11, 12 years ago now. But
I don't remember a lot of, great wins. I remember losing to Oostburg when I was coaching at Dominican in overtime in a sectional semifinal. And we were ranked number one in the state any division. We're up 6 in overtime. And he put his last 5 guys off the bench to the scorer's table. I said, buzz them in. Buzz them in. They didn't buzz them in. We missed the free throw. They hit a 3, took a timeout, and beat us. I didn't drive to Sheboygan for a year because there's a sign that said to Oostburg. I've never watched the game. The most painful, and that's that reading that Beloit Memorial one, that same thing.
Oh, it was a heartbreaker, and especially at the end of the first overtime, there was a tip in right at the buzzer, and he waved it off.
Oh,
we would have won, but he waved, and it was one of those where you watch it on film, and it was a coin flip,
man,
whether they counted it or not. So
he is Josh Scatrud. He is the head basketball coach at Elkhorn. Also joined for the entire 2 hours, we're going to talk to these guys a lot. He is Nick Brown. And Devin, you're going to play baseball where?
No, I'm actually playing I'm going
to track. Track at Columbia or something?
At Columbia, yep, in New York.
Man. He's much smarter than we are. So.
Jeez. And you know what? And the boy next to him is a pretty good student too, right?
Yeah, they both
Brown,
are.
What's your grade point?
3.5.
And what's yours?
3.9.
My goodness. So at 11:15, we're going to introduce you to our co-pick and save student athletes of the week. Yeah, that's an easy one right there. At 11:15, Luke Riegel, UW Parkside is going to join us. 10:30, Mark Miller with sports.net. 10:55, we're going to talk to a couple of minutes. We're going to talk for a couple of minutes to Michael Brown Johnson from Positive Vibes Elite. They're doing a fundraiser today. And again, 11:15, pick and save student athletes of the week. At the end of the show, I'm going to ask Nick Brown. And I'm going to ask Devin Davey their favorite memory being part of the Elkhorn basketball program. And they're going to have some time to think about that before we get that answer. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local pick and save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local pick and save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. In studio, we're talking Elkhorn basketball. We've got a couple of players and their head coach, Josh Skettrud, along with Devin Davey and Nick Brown. We're now joined by the coach at UW Parkside. This is where Josh went, so we're going to find out what kind of player he was.
Oh,
Luke Riegel, who hits a golf ball a mile because he played in our golf outing this year. Hey, Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I don't know if I hit it a mile straight, but I hit it.
Yeah, you do hit it, and we had to help you find it a few times, but that's okay. Hey, Coach, first and foremost, you know, safe travels for you guys coming back. I think you come back tonight. How's the team doing? And talk a little bit about this year's team.
Well, right now we've hit a kind of a tough patch. We're an extremely young group. Most days we start two freshmen, couple sophomores, and a junior. And our starting point guard, who was our leading scorer and leading assist man at the time, broke his foot 5 games into the year. So we've had to throw some young guys into the fire that we were hoping could be solid bench guys, and instead they've probably played a lot more than we anticipated. So we've had our ups and downs. We played really well at home a couple weeks ago, and like most young teams, we've struggled on the road. But the thing that's frustrating to me is we've really played well defensively as young a group as we are. The other night we held our opponent to 40% overall and 20% from the three-point line and still got beat because we just were struggling offensively. But if you can build a good defensive team, it's a good place to start.
Yeah, it really does. Hey, so we've got these two student-athletes, and trust me, they're both really strong student-athletes that are sitting here and listening, and a number of people listening that either are playing basketball or, you know, doing something in high school athletics. Luke, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, Coach, what does it take to play at the next level at UW Parkside, what do you tell them?
Well, I think the most important thing young players can do is go watch Division II basketball. Go watch Division III basketball. And then maybe they can get a better appreciation for just how good you have to be to go up a level. I mean, everybody in Wisconsin is so familiar with all the great Division III programs, and we feel like we've built an outstanding Division II program. But it's not easy to get to that next level. I mean, physically, like at our level, most of our players could compete at the Division I level by the time they're juniors or seniors. Now, maybe they couldn't when they were coming out of high school, but after a few years, getting older, getting in a weight room, you know, having great off seasons, most of our players could compete at the Division I level by the time they're juniors or seniors. And then the other part of it, and this is a part that's, I think, getting lost a little bit, is you have to be skilled. I mean, no matter if you're a point guard or a center, anywhere in between, you have to be able to handle the ball. You have to be able to pass the ball, which is probably the most underrated part of basketball. And then clearly, you know, being able to shoot the three is important. And for us, next year, we move back another foot, and that's going to impact the game at the college level of that three-point line moving back again.
Hey, and I know that you cannot talk about individual kids this time of year, but I can tell you that the young man that's in studio here that I had a chance to see play last year and thought, man, this kid's bouncy. He's really athletic, and he's gonna do really well, I think, at Parkside. How good was his coach over there, by the way, when he played over at Parkside? These guys over here, these players want to know some stories about what he was like in college.
Well, first of all, the guy that's coming in was definitely more athletic than his coach was. but you know, the thing was, Josh was a guy that, you know, when we were in our old league and there were, you know, Division II was a little bit different when Coach Skettrud came in, because there would be 24, 25-year-old men who had bounced around and maybe transferred a few times that looked like they could play in the NFL that played the power forward and center. And that's the kind of guys that Josh had to bang against and be physical against. And, you know, he really helped us in that part of the game. It's changed so much now. We can go 5 games without seeing many people post up anywhere. And when Coach Skettrud was with us, I mean, every team we saw had a 6'8", a 6'10", horse inside that he had to compete against. And on the offensive end, you know, he had these little crafty jump hooks to each shoulder and a little turnaround J. I think he probably wished I let him shoot more threes when he was a junior or senior, though.
Yeah, I think big shooting threes is a fairly new development, so – I missed out on that one.
Hey, Nick, when his college coach said he was crafty around the basket, I'm sure he gets out and plays a little bit at practice. Is he still crafty around the basket?
Oh, yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he'll go demonstrate some drills. He'll call me and Devin out to come play some defense, and he'll toss a shoulder into you.
There you go. Well, you better get used to that, because that's coming now, but it's really coming next year. Hey, Luke, at your level, when you have to play a lot of freshmen that you were hoping to be able to just kind of ease in, it's difficult to get wins away from home and at home, but you guys have done a great job at home. Is it, you know, being together on the road, being in somebody else's facility, it's just been a tough year for you guys on the road. I think you're 1-8, something like that. I don't know, how do you turn that around with young kids?
I don't know if you can. It's really difficult to win. Like, you know, not only our freshmen, but some of our redshirt sophomores have never played in these facilities. Like, you know, we had a few road games where we'd walk into the gym and they'd never played there before. On Thursday night, we're playing in a hockey arena with 100 people there. And, you know, I mean, there's no background. And, I mean, we really struggled shooting the ball, but there's just no substitute for experience. You know, I mean, you see teams that win on the road, whether it's the Big Ten or ACC, you know, whatever league, D2, D3, and most of those teams are junior and seniors that have been through the battles, that have played at those places before and understand what it takes. And you're just more comfortable at home. I mean, I see that with all of our players. I mean, you know, the entire year of 2019, we didn't lose a home game.
Wow.
And, you know, even when we were young and inexperienced, we had guys that just, you practice there every day, you shoot there every day. You're in your normal routines for pregame meal, and you're taking your naps or whatever you do these days. And I think you just see a much more confident, comfortable team at home, especially when you're young. And so for us, I think the best thing about this is our young players are getting valuable experience for the next few years. When we're going to add a really good recruiting class in 2020 with the young people we've signed. And it looks like we're going to sign a couple more guards through that mix. And, you know, we're excited about that group. And then if we can get our point guard back healthy, I think, you know, next year and the year after that could be get us right back to where we're used to being.
We are talking to Luke Riegel. He's a head coach at UW Parkside. They got a game today, a 1 o'clock tip up at Michigan Tech. Coach, Luke, when you had talked with and came out and watched this Alcorn team play and had a chance to talk to Josh about, you know, different things going on at Parkside, he is a Parkside guy. He's very proud of being an alumni there. And when he has somebody as talented as the kids sitting to his left, it's got to be good that he can talk to this kid about what it was like for him to play at Parkside, what it was like to be on that campus, and certainly great memories for you, Josh, for being there, right?
Yeah, and I was actually just talking to Nick before we came out in here a little bit about it, and I talked about how a lot of the things we do in our program, the idea that we're very process-oriented, just every day it's about getting better, and we really focus on developing players and just having a program, not just teams year after year, is something that I really believe is done, you know, with Coach Riegel at Parkside. And that's something where, you know, I kind of mentioned beforehand, being part of that first tournament team is something that I'm really proud of, and I've really happy to see how that's turned into the run he's had over the last 6-7 years especially.
You know what I'm happiest about looking at his roster? He's got a few more Wisconsin mm-hmm. boys than he's had in the past. And you know what? I like that, because you know, Luke, how important it is in my world and being on this show that we give our kids from the state of Wisconsin a chance to play at the next level. And I know that you guys as a staff have done a really good job of recruiting kids from the Wisconsin area. But I'd love to see, you know, a kid from Beaver Dam and a kid from Iguanago. You know, a couple of kids, I think 3 or 4 kids from the state of Wisconsin playing at the Division II level at Parkside. When you get kids that play here in the state of Wisconsin, and when you'll get one that is well coached and understands what it's going to take to play at that level, makes your job a little easier, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think That's the toughest. I think that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because the biggest challenge for me to get the word out to high school coaches, Wisconsin, is, of course, we want kids from Wisconsin to come to Parkside. But I don't care if they're across an imaginary line. Like, 90% of our roster is from within 2 hours of Parkside.
Right.
It just happens that the south side of Chicago is closer to our campus than Madison. You know, and so when you get to the northern and western half of Wisconsin, a lot of those kids are actually closer to many other D2s, even though they're not in Wisconsin. So we love having players from Wisconsin. We love having local players on our roster. And, you know, I'd consider Elkhorn local, because it excites the fans. It's, you know, they're familiar with these players. But it's important that you get the right local kids. You know, I mean,
right.
You have to have guys that understand how hard it is going to be and the work they have to put in. And like Josh mentioned, the process, and you know, if they buy into that, then they're going to have successful careers. You know, like going back to the team that Josh played on. I mean, you know, he was from Broadhead. We had a guy, Brad Firstnell from Burlington, Levante Fenderson from Racine, Kyle Clark from Kenosha. Like, if there are guys that can help us get to NCAA tournaments like that group did, we'd love for every kid to be from Wisconsin and within a half hour of our campus.
Well, you're going to.
It's not easy.
It's not. But you got one over here that I think he's going to have that opportunity, whether it's next year or 2 years or 3 years down the road. But I told Josh the last time I saw him that, boy, that's a good get, I think, for Luke. And he said, no doubt. This kid's going to get a chance to be really good. He'll take care of all his business in the classroom. And that's a good get. Hey, Coach, I know you got to go. Good luck today. Thanks a lot for a couple minutes of your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, good luck to the Elks there. And I look forward to having a chance to talk to you again this summer.
You got it. It's Luke Riegel.
All right.
Thanks a lot. We're going to get to a break, boys. Mark Miller from Wisports.net. You know, one of us is going to ask, who wants to ask about the whole Nicolet thing? Anybody? You want me to do it? Or yeah, I should probably be the one. I need to be the adult in the room here. Boy, hey, before we get to a break, you've been on campus, obviously, at Parkside. Yep. What about that? Did you go, man, this is a good fit for me?
Honestly, it was just kind of the feel. Just like when you find that campus, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just kind of like that feeling of home.
Yep.
And I've always loved the outdoors, and the campus itself is on, like, acres and acres.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really nice campus.
Yeah.
And all the facilities are really up to date and stuff. And I love the gym. Everything about it is really nice.
Were there pretty girls on campus when you were there, Coach? Anyway,
There were a few.
We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. What's your wife's name, by the way?
Lindsay. She's listening right now.
She is so. Lindsay. Lindsay's the only girl you've ever looked at. And
absolutely.
We will go with that. Do you have kids?
Nope, kids. We have dogs.
You have dogs? Just you and Lindsay. Is she a basketball fan?
She is. She teaches at Brookfield East, and she's a big basketball fan. She comes to pretty much every game, and she's very supportive, and I couldn't do it without her. So
tell her to start videotaping some of Rux's practices. I'm sure, you know, maybe she can be that spy. He's really good.
Oh, I was just telling these guys, I went and talked to him a little bit when we were switching to more of a five-man motion to kind of pick his brain a little bit, and he's a heck of a coach.
He's the guy. Yeah. When you talk about five, yeah, right? He's the guy. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Mark Miller with Sports.net will join us. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGarrett alongside the head basketball coach at Elkhorn. He is Josh Scatrud. Am I close on that?
Scatrud.
Yeah. Josh Scatrud. Thank you. Devin Davey and Nick Brown, a couple of senior players on a really good, really good basketball team. Don't sleep on them. Well, no, you can sleep on them. Josh doesn't mind. Sleep on them all day long.
Fine with me.
Fine with you. Mark Miller with Sports.net is joining us just for a couple of minutes. He's really busy down at Racine Prairie today. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, things. You're ready to tip off, right?
Well, we got a few minutes yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we start at 11 a.m. Yep.
Hey, so before we get into the schedule, if people want to see some really good games, I looked at the schedule. There's some great games going on at Racine Prairie today. You know, I think we have to bring up what's going on over at Nicolet. Mark, Elkhorn is a Division II team. Nicolet is who they lost to in the state semifinals last year. But some changes to that roster last night.
Yes, there were. Obviously, Jalen Johnson gaining eligibility from the WIA and playing last night in their win at Slinger. So, you know, that obviously elevates their team in terms of talent level. And it makes them certainly a team that a lot of people will pay very close attention to, you know, throughout the rest of the last 3 weeks of the regular season here and then certainly in the playoffs.
Yeah, I knew he was back in town. And he left IMG out of Florida, came back to Milwaukee. I didn't think, and I was asked a lot, did I think that there was a chance that he would be back playing for Nicolet? And I didn't. I said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. And I called WIA yesterday, and there was no comment from them. I'm just wondering the process and the decision-making to allow him back. Look, he's a really good, talented basketball player from the state of Wisconsin. So other than Josh and the guys from, you know, they're going to have to play them, I think it's great to be able to chance to go out and watch him play some more. But, boy, the process sometimes – for me, Mark, I don't understand the decision-making on the WI and how they come to decisions. Do you have any insight into that?
Well, a little bit, I guess. I wrote a story yesterday for WizSports.net. I'm sure you saw it and probably Josh saw it and others did.
Yep.
Got a lot of views. you know, definitely a lot of interest and a lot of questions like you're asking right now. And I tried to address some of those, you know, based on the WI rules and so forth that are in place right now. For situations such as Jalen's, you know, the eligibility status was never in doubt with him because he had never suited up for IMG Academy. He did not play a game for them. So as WIA always says, you're eligible at some school, and his eligibility then reverted back to Nicolet. So when he transferred back, the eligibility was not the question. What was in question, and the reason that he didn't play, you know, a little earlier perhaps, is the fact that USA Basketball gave him some benefits last summer that were impermissible, and they had to make restitution for those benefits, the family did. And that's been done, and so he was granted eligibility, you know, clearance, I should say, and obviously suited up last night and played in the game.
What does that do in Division II in your eyes, Mark? You know, right now it's Onalaska is ranked 1, La Crosse Central is 2, and Seymour and Hortonville, New Berlin, Eisenhower, Stoughton, and then Nicolet. What does that do to that Division II in your view, as far as, you know, are they the odds-on favorite again to win a state?
Well, I think it's a little premature to say that, you know, having seen La Crosse Central and Onalaska a couple times this year, and we'll see Central again later today against a really good team from Illinois. You know, I think that those two teams, you know, immediately jump to my mind as Division II teams that, you know, are both outstanding and have been together all year and have really good chemistry and, you know, have guys that have played together for a long time. You know, unfortunately, only one of them will get to the Kohl Center because they're in the same sectional. And then, you know, like Josh's sectional, I mean, certainly Elkhorn's having a great year in Westosha, and then you got some of the Badger teams. I mean, they're not going to roll over and play dead for anyone.
Nope.
So, you know, obviously this does elevate them. There's no question, you know, to add a kid that's in the top 10 in the country and going to Duke next year and is 6'9" and can impact the game, you know, with a lot of different things. It's not just his scoring or, you know, he also rebounds and passes and handles the ball. Just does it, you know, a bit of everything for them. So, you know, does it elevate them? Absolutely. Does it make them the favorite? I don't know if I go quite that far yet. You know, they played one game with Jalen, and they won by 11 on the road. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. They got 3 weeks to kind of iron out the, you know, the rough spots, so to speak, and try to figure out the rotation and all that, and then the playoffs begin. But there's no question it makes them one of the teams to beat as we – into the postseason.
Hey, Mark, and a lot of this stuff, you're way smarter than I am. I never saw the Elkhorn team last year. I knew I saw them against St. Catharines, but I didn't see them making the run that they made. Did that surprise you at all to see them up in Madison last year?
I would say not really. Maybe a little bit. But they had two senior guards last year that were both really good, and the Omnis boys. And of course, Josh is the best coach in the state. And
there you go. You know what? Josh is shaking his head. Finally, Miller got something right, is what he's thinking. No,
I wouldn't
just
say
kidding.
That.
Oh.
No, obviously, Nick Brown is a very athletic kid going to Parkside on scholarship. And this Jordan Johnson kid's really coming on for him this year, can really score it. He's got a really quick twitch and really, he was 15 of 15 from the foul line the other night in the game I watched. So, they have some talent both last year and this year. And they are, I'm not just blowing smoke here. They are well coached and they play a good schedule and they'll be battle tested. They have a good mixture of inside and outside. And that Davey kid is really kind of the glue to that team. And I only watched him play one game, and Josh could speak to this a lot more than I could, but I was very, very impressed with how he ran the team, how he defended, and his overall composure on the court, in addition to making some three-point shots. Really nice player.
Boy, that's good. Hey, Mark, talk a little bit about the event you guys got going on today down at Racine Prairie.
Yeah, we have a beautiful facility. I'm sure you've been here, Mike. It's I think about 10 years old, and it's got great lighting and natural lighting with windows and a balcony and lots of seating. And we got seven teams from Illinois coming in to play seven teams from Wisconsin. And we have the first game here is Brookfield Academy against New Trier. So Brookfield's going to go up against a school that has about 4,000 kids in it. We'll see how they do. And then the last game of the day is Lacrosse Central against a DeKalb team that has over 20 wins already. And we got really good games in the middle. We have Madison East coming up, Sun Prairie, the Prairie Schools obviously going to play. We're looking forward to having a really fun day of competitive basketball with some high-level kids.
You know, Mark, a lot of times when you're a high school basketball fan, there's not a lot of great games on Saturdays sometimes. This is a perfect time. If you want to see some really good basketball and you want to watch some of the better teams in the state of Wisconsin play some of the better teams in the state of Illinois, Racine Prairie is just a phenomenal facility. It just is. It's not far. Get in the car, head down. If you pay the money to get into one game, can you stay for the rest of them?
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, absolutely you can. And I forgot to mention Brookfield Central, too.
Yes.
They're playing here today, so... We have a really good lineup of a lot of state-ranked teams from both states, and it'll be interesting to see if we can do a little better than we did last weekend in the Minnesota border battle, where we only went 2-5, but had incredible talent at that event last week as well. So it's always fun to see how our teams match up, or coaches match up, how the players match up, and, different styles of play that sometimes are used. But good basketball doesn't know any state borderline. So I think we really do have a good lineup this year.
Hey, Josh,
plenty of room.
Does your wife kick you out of the house as much as Mark's wife must kick him out? Because he's in gyms all the time, man.
Not quite.
No, because you haven't been married as long as Mark and his wife and my wife and I. They kick us out a little bit more. Hey, Mark Miller, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I'll be reaching out to you come playoff time quite a bit. And thanks for everything you do for high school basketball in the state of Wisconsin. Nobody does it better, Mark. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate the kind words. Have a great day.
Take care. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break. I have one more guest at 10:55. Other than that, man, we're gonna talk a lot about your conference, Coach. I want to talk about the rest of your team. Mark talked a little bit about the two kids that we have here with Nick and Devin, but I want to talk about your staff and really dig into that kind of the mm-hmm. community and the staff and your basketball conference. I don't talk a lot about. Shame on me. You guys get the state, and people are like, "How come you didn't talk about them?" I said, I need to do a better job talking Southern Lakes basketball, and we'll do a lot of that the rest of the show. And again, 11:15, we're going to talk to our two Pick and Save student athletes of the week, and they need to be prepared for one question, and that is, what motivates you for being such a good student athlete? And we have both of them in studio with us, and we'll ask them that at 11:15. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're finally going to get to talk a little bit of Elkhorn basketball, Coach. We normally, like I said, second hour is when I have my guests on, but Luke Riegel, head coach at Parkside, said I can come on. It's got to be early. Mark Miller, the same thing. 10:55, we will talk to Michael Brown Johnson. He runs a 7-on-7 football program called Positive Vibes Elite. Got a chance to meet him a couple days ago, and they're running a couple fundraisers I'm going to tell you about. But other than that, the rest of the show is going to be talking Elkhorn basketball. Coach, when, the youth program that you have, first of all, Devin and Nick, did you guys play in the youth program in Elkhorn?
Yeah, we both played in the WIBL league.
So you guys have been playing basketball together for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
One-on-one, who wins?
This guy right here.
Yeah. Look at how honest you are. That's awesome. If he gets on the track with you, who wins?
Oh, that's all me.
Yeah. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. You got, who has a prettier girlfriend, either one of you?
I'm the only one with a girlfriend.
Oh, there you go. You know why? Because, hey, man, he plays the field in Elkhorn. What is your girlfriend's name?
Her name's Cam.
Yeah, is she listening? She probably might be, is. Right? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Coach, did you know that this is going to be a special class when they were younger?
I think so. This is my sixth year as the coach, and when these guys were in seventh grade is when I took over from John. And I knew they were a talented group. Devin's dad was one of the coaches of the group, and his dad played basketball at UW-Whitewater and was a really good player and actually was a varsity coach at Bigfoot himself.
Well, that helps,
and,
huh?
Yeah, yeah, and him and one of our senior dads, Chris Stebnitz, along with Dad, did a really nice job with this group as they grew up and got them in tournaments. Like Devin said, played in the WIBL and were competitive in the highest levels. So I saw that there was some talent. You know, Nick, I always laugh when he was a seventh, eighth grader freshman. He was this long and lanky, skinny kid, but you could always see some of the raw potential. And Devin's always been extremely talented as well. And then they had a couple other guys who were solid players. So I think this was definitely a class. And then you kind of combine them with the group we had last year, who Mark mentioned a little bit, a couple of those guys, who was a very talented group. And that's kind of what you hope. You hope to get two really talented groups in a row, and that's when you are usually able in a school like Elkhorn to make a good run.
Nick, so I've heard that a little bit from some other people too, that early on, I mean, where you are now is different than where you were in seventh, eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep the term I keep hearing is, and Coach, I'm going to ask you this about him, his best basketball might be ahead of him, mm-hmm. yet. And he's a really good high school basketball player. He's got a chance, I think, at UW-Parkside to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to get bigger and stronger, and he's going to have to get a little bit bigger and stronger to play at that level, correct?
Yeah, and Nick has. I give Nick a ton of credit. When he was a sophomore, he was up on the varsity, and he played he played a decent amount. He came off the bench, and he had some really nice games, but he still physically wasn't super strong. And I remember in the sectional game at when we played Westosha the first time in sectionals, he just physically wasn't quite ready to be on the floor for a big chunk of the game, because they were a big physical senior dominated team. And to Nick's credit, he committed himself to getting stronger in the weight room, and he turned himself into a different kid. And I think with his work ethic and the potential he has, I think he's just going to keep getting better and better and better.
Is Devin the point guard on your team?
Yes.
Devin, so are you a pass first kid? You get in the gap and make that pass, kids hit two in a row?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah? Have you always played point guard?
Yeah, mostly. And then last year I played a little off guard with Luke Omnis being at point guard. So
yeah, those twins. I enjoyed watching those two twins play. They got after it a little bit. You like the ball in your hands down the stretch, making good decisions, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Coaches kids, man. You know what? Coaches kids see the game a little different, feel a little different about the game, and maybe understand that, look, I don't have to put up 20. If I get six, And I get, you know, if I'm a 3-to-1 kid as far as assist to turnovers, and we keep winning.
Well, so with Devin, you know, like Devin mentioned, we had Luke Umnes last year, and Luke was the type of kid, and this is what you want in a point guard. He wasn't giving up the ball to anybody to bring it up the floor. He wanted to be in command of the offense, and that's what you want in a point guard. When you have a point guard who you trust, it makes the entire game easier.
Yep.
And Devin stepped in this year and took over that role, and he's been great. He's averaging about one turnover a game, which is unbelievably impressive considering how much he handles the basketball. And you know, he's completely steady Eddie out there when he has it, and knows when there's times to distribute and look for other guys. But then also has, especially the last couple weeks, really started to maybe look for his own shot, because Devin can score. He's just it's not the thing that defines his game. And in the past couple of years, he's been a great defender for us, and we have always just put him on the other team's best player. And you know, this year his offensive role has expanded.
Hey, so Jordan Johnson averaging almost 23 a game, surprising you at all?
Yes and no. I think anybody who's seen Jordan play knows how talented Jordan is. Jordan's a athletic kid. He's a skilled kid. He's put a ton of time into his game. I always say Jordan last year, he played maybe 13 or 14 minutes a game for us, and it wasn't because he wasn't good. It was just because we had you know, four or five guards who were a little older, a little stronger than him, and he was a good soldier in terms that he played his role and he accepted it. And he had a great offseason. He put a ton of time in his game, and he got better, and now he's seeing the results.
So when I talk to other teams that you guys are playing against, and I can name two of them right off the top of my head, that I'll talk to them and they're playing you on Friday, and they focus a lot on Nick Brown. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, the first thing we have to do is if we can stop him. And I think what's happened now is people are like, okay, you got to pick your poison. He's averaging 23. Nick Brown's averaging about 16. Now Devin's averaging 12, and it's much harder to stop three than it is one, obviously.
Yeah, and that's a really nice thing to have, is to have multiple guys, because you know, when you throw two or three guys to stop one, that's going to leave somebody open. And when we have you know, a guy like Nick who can score inside and out, you know, the teams kind of have to decide how they're going to handle that, and that gives us a big matchup advantage. And then Jordan is so athletic that he really, even if you throw multiple guys at him, he's going to find ways to get to the basket. And then you know, Devin, with the way he can shoot the ball and how good he is in transition, just gives us that other threat. And then we've had a couple other guys step up and help us when we needed that too.
Hey, on the other side of the break, 11 o'clock, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick you out of here for a segment.
Ooh.
I'm going to just talk to these boys, and we're gonna talk about you behind your back, if that's okay.
All right.
I want to talk to these two leaders of this Elkhorn team a little bit about the rest of their roster and what their hopes are. Before we get to a break, Michael Brown Johnson, again, Positive Vibes Elite. We had him on during the U Sports Show. They've got two different fundraisers going on this weekend, and I wanted to talk to him about that. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Can you talk? Let's talk a little bit about Positive Vibes Elite. It's a 7-on-7 program. How long have you guys been doing this?
So this will be our first year as our own organization, but with the coaches that we have on staff, we've been doing this from anywhere from 2 to about the last 5 to 7 years.
Hey, you're an assistant coach over at Cudahy for their football program, and I talked last time I had you on that, you know, you got injured as a high school player, and you said, look, I want to give back to the community. Young guy, fiance, who I met at Starbucks the other day, I love the servant leadership heart that you guys have. The fact that your father is a pastor did not surprise me at all. Talk a little bit about the fundraisers and how, if people that are listening want to help you guys on this mission that you're on, how can we get involved?
All right, so the fundraiser that we have going on just today would be the Chipotle fundraiser. The one on Mayfair Road right across from the mall is going to be from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. And then the one that we have going on tomorrow will be a spaghetti dinner. It's all-you-can-eat spaghetti. And that'll be going on tomorrow evening from 5 to 8 p.m. at Brewski, not too far from Wisconsin Lutheran High School. So we'll be doing that tomorrow as well. And all of the proceeds, of course, goes to the team. It goes to covering their for transportation to get down to all of the tournaments, which our first one is next weekend in Chicago. And then also covers uniforms, hotel stay, for the nutrition aspect that we do as well. It covers that all together as well.
Hey, Michael, are you going to be at Chipotle today from 4 to 8?
Yes, sir. I'll be there from about 4 to about 7.
Good. I will stop by and say hello and drop something off for you. I'm Michael Brown Johnson. Thank you very much. I'll see you a little later. 4 to 8 o'clock today, Chipotle on Highway 100, right near Mayfair. And tomorrow, Brewski's, 76th Street, 5 to 8. Go help these young people. They're trying to do really good work in this community. And I would ask you to help them out, buy some food, and donate some money. Guys, we'll get to a break. Other side of the break, Coach, you're out of here. We're going to talk to Devin Davey and Nick Brown about this year's team. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Some of the best high school basketball in the state is played right here in Southeast Wisconsin. It's time to hear from some of the best high school basketball coaches in the area. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores. Now with former Marquette High and Concordia University coach David Cooks, here's 105.7 FM The Fan's high school insider, Big Time Mike McGivern.
Oh, welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show. As always, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores. So during the break, man, this Nick Brown can't stop talking about Cam this and Cam that and Cam this. And my goodness, I'm only kidding, man. Don't be turning red on me, Mr. Brown. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about this team. Devin, I'm going to start with you. Did you have an idea? You guys, you know, this class and last year's class, as your coach said, look, two special classes. Mm-hmm. Did anything about what happened last year surprise you?
I don't really think so. I think we knew we were pretty good. I mean, obviously the run down the stretch was pretty magical, like you said, but we put in the work and we knew that we were going to down the stretch rely on our defense and just look to move the ball and get the scoring that we needed. So
hey, there's a player coming in next week, AJ Vukovic from East Troy. I'll ask him about you boys. I'll ask him how you – I bet that I don't know if I'd be happy that they're not in D2 anymore because they're really good this year for sure. But I'm going to have a couple of East Troy's boys join me next week and we'll talk to them. Nick, same question for you. Anything surprise you that I don't know until you're done with a magical run like that if you understand. I mean, it's really hard to get to state. It's a hard thing to do, and that journey that you guys had was really difficult. Any of that surprise you?
Honestly, no. I felt really confident.
Hey, you know what? There's grab his microphone. I think there's something going on with yours. I don't think Jeff had to leave for a second.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
So, yeah, no, I mean, all season, I felt really good going into the season. And like I said, once we hit that St. Cat's thing, that really boosted my confidence, but it also boosted the confidence I had in the team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the point where I realized, like, we could really do something special. And going on that run, like, playing with all these guys, like, we played together since we were little kids, and it was just a really cool experience. And I think we all knew that state could be – or state was a realistic goal for us.
Hey, are you a multi-sport athlete, single sport?
I am single sport. I've always just played basketball.
Always played? You didn't play baseball as a kid, football, soccer, any of that?
I played baseball for a year and realized I was not meant to play another sport on the earth.
That's okay. So. And Devin's the exact opposite. Grab that mic back. Soccer kid, track and field. Yep. You're going to Columbia. Yep. To run track and field, correct? Mm-hmm. And you run what do you run?
400 and 200.
And why Columbia, if I can ask?
Yeah, it was kind of similar to Nick when I got there. You know, the coaches really were nice to me, and they really wanted me to have like a good academic experience, which is huge for me. And then my brother also goes to Brown, so
he does.
He's another Ivy League school out there, so. I didn't want to be, you know, too close to him, but also yeah. You know, still out there by him.
Yeah.
So.
Is he an athlete as well?
Yeah, he's a track guy. He runs the 400 and 800. So we could end up seeing each other and meet some down the road.
How fun would that be?
Oh, yeah, that'd be be quite the split house there.
Who would win?
I think it'd be a good race. I think maybe right now he'd probably get me, but once you get a little more training, some college training, that would definitely help me.
Oh, man. Do you, and I'll ask you this, being the Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week, and look, you can change your answer to this 14 times before you get to the car, all right? If you had to guess what you want to go into next year when you're in college, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking like biology or something, and maybe like a pre-med track. And
you and I are like twins. Yeah. We're both fast in the 40, and we're no, I'm just kidding. The exact. What are you laughing at, Nick Braun? You grab his microphone. How about you? Do you have any idea what you're going to look to get into next year? And again, you can change it a whole bunch of times.
Yeah. No, next year I'm thinking about going into graphic design.
Okay.
I've always loved the art area and designing different types of things. So.
Boy, I envy that, because I can't, there's nothing about that I'm good at. And I do this NARI Milwaukee Home Improvement Show, and I envy people that can see things before they happen, and or before, when they say, look, if we paint that wall green, I can't see it until the whole thing is done. Yeah. I just don't have that gift, and I think that that's a gift. Is it something that you're involved in now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking AP art this year, so I'm getting a lot of experience and getting ready for like college courses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I've drawn since I was, I don't even know, three.
Really?
Like I've always, me and my sister both, you know, we're very artistic, so.
Good for you. What grade is she in? Is she out of school?
No, she is a sophomore.
Okay. Yeah. Bigger, is there a bigger fan in the school than she is for you?
Honestly, probably not. She's probably one of my biggest supporters. She's not very vocal about it, but she's definitely one of my bigger supporters.
Can you hear your parents during your game?
No, they're all pretty quiet. My dad's gotten a little more vocal over the years, but he tends to keep his cool for the most part.
Does he?
Yeah.
And you get home, does he say, hey, you know, you got to go to work here, you got to make sure you're trying this? And as a father, does he say, hey, look, you got to get after it a little more, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my dad's, he's always there for me. He always points out, he always starts off with the good things, and then he'll go to the bad and stuff that I need to get better at. And I mean, he's always supportive, you know. He's
Boy, that's there for me, so. That's good. Devin, same question for you. Obviously, you know, when we were talking to the head coach, Josh, said, look, your dad was a coach and a player and all that. Do you hear them in the crowd at all?
Yeah, the thing for me is I only hear my dad. So
my son, I coached him in high school. He went to Calvary Baptist in Menominee Falls. We had 67 kids in the whole school. 7 boys on the basketball team. I call this the Caucasian invasion. And we just went and played. These kids didn't know. We went and played Milwaukee Hamilton, Science Academy. And they were like, yeah, if we win, do we get free pizza? Yeah, I'll get you free pizza. And we went out and beat all these teams. And my son then went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown. And he'd say, Dad, you're at the top of the bleachers. I can hear everything you say. I can't hear my coach, and he's next to me. But I hear. And I go, no, you don't. He's like, are you ever going to hit a shot tonight? Are you going to defend? He goes, I hear all those comments. So he got so in tune to hearing my voice. I'm sure the same thing for you.
Yeah.
Do they come to all your events?
Oh, yeah. They're all the whole family and the whole clan. They're all listening right now, and they all come, they all come to everything. So.
What's your mom and dad's name?
Dot and Kathy.
Don and Kathy. Yeah. That's awesome. Don and Kathy. Excellent. You guys have done really good. These are nice boys. Nick, your mom and dad?
Rob and Kim.
Rob and Kim. Boy, I can tell them, and they know this already, but senior year's tough on parents. It's a year of lasts, right? Yeah. It's the last time you're going to go to Badger. It's the last time you're going to go to Central. It's the last. And I had it easy because I was coaching. So I could do that, and then all of a sudden, it's senior night and parent night, and we didn't have a lot of kids at the small school. But instead of going to the locker room, now I got to stay out here and hold hands with my wife, and she's got a flower, and she's crying, all that. And so you guys know that Don and Kathy and Ryan and Kim are going through that that stuff right now, and it's been that trip up to Madison for them. They still, I'm sure, they still talk about that with everybody in the community, and how proud that they were. It can be a little bit easier, Nick, for your parents to come watch you play.
Yeah, right. I mean, Kenosha is only like 50 or so minutes away from our house. So
yeah.
It'll be nice to have them there for games and stuff.
It's going to be a little bit more difficult, Devin, for your parents. But trust me, Wait, if you do run against your brother, man, they're going
to
be there.
They'll make it out to that race for sure.
One's going to have on the Columbia, one will have the brown outfit on.
I'll have to get him a shirt, splits it right down the middle.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. Hey, so you are a multi-sport athlete. Obviously, you run track and field, play soccer, basketball. Is track and field the one that caught your heart and the most? Yeah.
You're, I was just like, you know, go out there, get in the locks and just, you know, just running, feeling the wind in your hair or whatever. But it's just kind of soothes me and it's what I really like to do. So.
And do you play soccer for, you enjoy soccer, but is that the third sport at this point for you?
Probably, yeah, right in there with basketball. I'll probably be behind, but I just love playing, you know, soccer. We had a nice state run this year and, you know, I've been playing with those boys from, you know, when we were in kindergarten and we always played like the club team that we always had together, and we put together a great season this past year.
You're gonna miss Elkhorn.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I've not been on the campus where you're going, but I'm sure it's beautiful. A lot of stuff going on there, but I'm sure you'll get back as often as possible, right?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Nick, you've gone to see Parkside play, and a lot of high school basketball you have left, but to play at that next level. There's a lot of work to be done to be able to play there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's all about getting stronger for me. And with that comes, you know, improving my game. I won't be, you know, the tallest kid on the court anymore. So,
right.
You know, I'm going to have to get used to going up against some 6'8", 6'9", guys more regularly.
You're pretty comfortable outside, though. I mean, you shoot the three a little bit. And like I said, if you haven't seen Nick Brown play, he's a bouncy kid. He can get... got good hops and he can shoot a little bit. So, and you're comfortable with the ball in your hands facing the basket. You're not a kid who goes block to block it by any means.
Yeah, correct. No, I can definitely space the floor, and I think that'll really help Parkside next year coming in. Maybe hit a couple shots a game, you know, kind of give them some more options, right? Come in, play some good defense.
Hey, let's talk about other kids on this roster, guys. Who? What other seniors? And Devin, let me start with you. What other seniors from this roster that you guys have played with for a long time that didn't get a chance? We didn't have them come in studio, but other guys that make this team go?
Yeah, definitely. The two other senior starters, Mason Stebnitz and Eric Van Dyke. Mason Stebnitz, the big guy inside, kind of came on out of nowhere a little bit this past year, and he's been grabbing rebounds left and right. He's just kind of crazy going up and getting them, but he's always in the right spot for us and really good defender. He's been, you know, neutralizing their guys' biggest threat, like Runkle and other big guys. And then Eric Van Dyke's our other starting senior guard, and he, you know, he can shoot really well and just plays really hard all the time, so he usually gives us that good spurt of energy. And then off the bench we have Mason Bulow, leads the team in charges with 8 charges right now. And then a couple other seniors are Sean Aller and Luke Brown. Tommy Cuhart.
So when you guys look at the schedule, and we'll talk about the rest of the roster with your coach, Is there a rivalry game and that you look and you go, man, I don't like these guys much. Got a lot of respect for them. You can stay on your mic now, Nick. It's back on. Is there who's the rival for you?
I would definitely say the past years it's been with Stosia.
Yeah.
We've always gone head-to-head with them. It's always been a good, close game. And obviously knocking them out of the state run last year, you know, that was big for us and for them. You know, motivates them to come out and play harder, motivates us. So that's probably our biggest threat and biggest rival, I would say.
Hey, when they come to town, is that the one that the gym is hard to get into because it's packed?
Oh.
Devin,
yeah. This year was like kind of an early game, so it was the one of the first conference games, and that gym was just full of people. So, that was definitely a fun atmosphere.
Different energy for you guys as players when the gym is like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like having a student section's always great. But then having parents and just people from the community is like, it's always really cool to come out after a game and just like see how many people are there to come and support us.
When we started coaching at Martin Luther 4 years ago, they had won 2 games in 3 years, something like that. And the first game that we played at home, we had 9 students at. Wow. And last year, with that run we had, you had to get there about an hour and a half beforehand. To get it, to get the seat you wanted. The JV games were packed. These JV kids are like, this is unbelievable. And they all traveled. And they traveled really well. It's, you know, down to Racine Prairie. And then we had to play Beloit Turner. And the Beloit Turner guards were talking, like on social media. Really? I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Do you see our guards? And I asked one of our guards, do you guys know them? He said, yeah, I can't believe they're doing this. They were saying Martin Luther who, and you know what? Go get your tickets up at Kohl's Center now because you'll be seeing us. And
wow.
I've never seen a sectional final game get to a running clock.
Yeah.
Running clock. We got those boys home early. They got to get on the bus and go home early. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, our Pick and Save Student Athletes of the Week, we're going to ask them what motivates them for being such a good student athlete. We're going to allow Josh to come back in from the hallway, and he can now come back and sit in with us. I just wanted these guys to be able to talk a little bit about this year's team, and we'll ask Josh about his staff and the other coaches and teams in this conference. There's some good coaches in this conference. I'm going to talk to Josh about those guys as well. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
So who is this week's Student Athlete of the Week? Who's making a difference in their community, in their classroom, and on the court?
Let's meet the Pick and Save High School Student Athlete of the Week, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
So, our Pick and Save Student Athletes of the Week. Let me tell you how this happened. I called Josh, head coach at Elkhorn. I said, here's what we're going to do. What do you think? He goes, man, yeah, I got a couple, got a few. And I said, okay, well, pick one that's coming in studio. He goes, nope, can't. You pick one. I go, I'm not bad. He goes, they both are really well-deserving kids. Because what I asked these coaches, and I asked Josh, the head coach at Elkhorn, I said, look, I need kids that are really good in the classroom. They're good ambassadors for you and your staff. They're good in the community, love the school, and these, you know, that type of kid. And he said, both kids coming in studio, both of them. So I called my friend Smokin' Hot Mary. Smokin' Hot Mary at Ideal Logos and Awards. I said, Smokin' Hot Mary, I got it. I need two trophies this week. She said, no problem. We will take care of that. So I appreciate my friends at Ideal Logos and Awards, and Lori does a great job, and Mary and everybody over there. Our two Pick and Save Student Athletes of the Week are in studio with us. And Josh, I told you when we went to a break, very seldom will I be able to kick a coach out of here because the kids handle themselves so well on the microphone. It's kind of like if one of these kids takes my job one day, I'm coming after you, by the way, because you brought these guys in. Devin Davey, Nick Brown, I'm going to start with you, Devin. Your motivation for being such a good student athlete, where does that come from?
I think it's definitely from my family and my parents who have always like pushed me to, you know, work hard in both in the classroom and in all the sports. And then definitely like representing Elkhorn when you go out, you know, you do community service or anything like that, you want to be, you know, putting on your best act and your performance. So
yeah,
that's definitely where it comes from for me.
And you know that two things. You know that it is a privilege to play sports. It's not your right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't. That's not a right. You have to earn what you do. And you obviously have done that. And you know when you're out in the community at Elkhorn, those little kids. Remember, you were fourth, fifth grade, third grade. Looking at you guys, that you're coaching those kids, they think you're the Bucks. I mean, they do. They're like, oh, my goodness, Ed, look at, he's our coach. And then they come watch you play, and they wear those little uniforms to bed at night and think about Friday nights playing at that level. So I like the fact that you said that because you're walking around the community, you have no idea how many eyes are on you.
Yeah.
They're all on you going, okay, is he a nice kid? Is he going to hold the door for that lady? Is he going to help her with that, you know, that kind of stuff? So thank you for that. Hey, Nick Brown, your motivation for being such a good student athlete, where does that come from?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely similar to Devin's. My parents have always told me, like, to work hard in school. And obviously, school is going to be the main thing that sets me up for my life after college, after high school. And I want to be the best person that I can be academically, athletically, but also like out in the community, and having relationships with like the little kids and everything that means a lot to me. And I want to be a good role model to everyone.
So does the term servant leadership mean anything to, I'm sure it does to your coach, but understand you guys are young guys, and to understand giving back to the community at such an early age, coach, this is encouraging to me. Elkhorn has and their parents and family and that community has done a nice job with these boys.
Yeah, we're I'm very, very lucky that I got guys like this that I get to work with every day. We got a great community that supports us, but you know, I'm proud of these guys for taking opportunities to give back. This last week on Wednesday after school, we went and read to elementary school students, and these two guys were two of the first guys to jump on and say, "Yeah, I'll do it." So, you know, it's very fortunate that, you know, they got great parents who've done an excellent job, you know, raising them and teaching them great values and how to give back to the community and how to be the best person they can be.
Hey, Coach, there's something to be said about the best players on your team also being the best students, mm-hmm. and being, you know, the kids in the community that do that kind of stuff. People don't understand that there's so much that goes into a winning basketball mm-hmm. team and program, more than just the kids, you know, being able to knock down shots and defend. But stuff like this just, it's encouraging that these young kids have gotten it at an early age.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm so fortunate, but the fortunate part is there's other guys in our team I probably could have picked for this award too.
Well, you said 4 or 5 is what you said, and I said, "Coach, I can't."
Might be a little tough to do that.
I'd have to say really smoking hot Mary if that was the case. So just so you know,
yeah, we don't have on our team. We don't have discipline problems. I don't have to worry about guys getting in trouble in class or guys being ineligible or not showing up to school on time. And as a coach, you know, that's not directly seen on the basketball floor, but it matters, and it shows in how they execute on the basketball floor and how they carry themselves. That all is connected to how they act in the classroom and how they act in the community, and I couldn't be prouder of these guys.
Man, I agree with that. I think it's that community is – this is going to be a tough class to let go of. Mm-hmm. How is the younger classes – how's the JV team look, the freshman team, the youth program? How's that all going?
Well, it's a little up and down with some of our lower levels. There's some kids who are, we got some talent there, but it's a little raw. But, you know, we got more good kids coming up the pipeline. And I think I mentioned earlier that we see ourselves as a program, that we don't want to have just a good team every once in a while. We believe in our system. We believe in our process. And we got some kids going through that right now. And I tell my lower-level coaches all the time, I really don't care how much you win or lose. I just want to see kids doing the right thing and kids getting better, and I think we have that.
Hey, Nick, when you're coaching those little guys, mm-hmm. is there something that your coach here says all the time that all of a sudden you can't believe that you're saying it to, you know, are you doing any kind of drill? Look, Coach Wallersheim at Martin Luther and I coached together for a long time, and I know exactly what he's going to say when he says it. We do certain drills, dribble, shoot, same, you know, we do it every day, that kind of stuff. You guys are looking at each other laughing. I'm sure there are some things that he says all the time that once you leave, you hope you never have to hear again.
You go.
All right, I'm always talking to my kids and saying, you know, helping the gaps, get that gap defense. And, you know, Coach over here, he loves that gap defense. So.
He does. I watched you guys against St. Catharines running, trying to get that gap. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, I would say ball movement. That's the thing I'm constantly yelling out. And, you know, scat's all about getting the best shot, which, you know, with basketball, that's the main thing. So.
Well, and, Nick, sometimes the best shot's with you, right?
I mean, yeah, sometimes.
Heck yeah, maybe sometimes. More times than he's letting go right now. You got to let that thing fly. Yeah. Hey, Coach, this Southern Lakes Conference, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of good coaches in this mm-hmm. conference. Been coaching for a long time. When you took over and that you know, that 8 inches from the, you know, being assistant and a JV coach, even bigger step, mm-hmm. Fully accept you into this fraternity of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of really good coaches in our conference, and some of them, when you talk about Steve Brezowitz at Burlington and Dave Pettit at Union Grove, those guys have been there for, you know, 20, 25 years. And
neither one will come on this show. Huh. I've left messages for those guys, and I don't know why. This is fun stuff, right?
Oh, this is a blast.
Yeah. Nick Brown said he'll come every week, guys.
I'd love to.
But yeah, there's a lot of good guys, a lot of good coaches who, you know, a couple of which, like I said, Dave and Steve have been there a long time and have good programs and, you know, year in and year out have good teams. And then, you know, you got a Jake Urbantraut at Wilmot's been there about a decade and has had sectional teams a couple times. And I came in at about the, I think a year before James Heilberg did at Westosha. And, you know, we've kind of talked a little bit about the success they've had. And, you know, Paul Chiarapata at Waterford does a nice job with his kids. And you know, at Badger, John Witte, a couple years starting to get his program established. And then Delavan has a new coach this year. Todd's from one of the West Bend schools. Yep. I can't remember, but he's got his kids playing hard and doing the right thing. So it's a good group. And yeah, they accepted me right away. I knew some of them from being the JV coach, but you know, there were nights those first couple of years where it was, you know, you mentioned moving over that seat a few inches. It's more than just 8 inches. It's a lot of stuff, and it's something where until you do it, you can't completely be ready for it. And you know, there were a couple of games where, you know, we got our clocks cleaned early on, and it was because I probably wasn't doing the job I needed to do, but you take your lumps, you learn, and that's kind of how we got to where we are now.
I think, and I've been both a head coach and an assistant coach, and I think I'm a better assistant coach. And one of the reasons is loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted the head guy's job. Never. Mm-hmm. But the coach's door closes, and we yell at each other like brothers, and, you know, like cats and dogs. And the door opens, and I'm in lockstep with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's his program, and your staff, and we had this conversation, you like your staff. These are good guys, yeah. And they teach the game of basketball the right way. As a head coach, there's so much more than people see on Tuesdays and Fridays. That first year, you had to be surprised by a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just things and pressures you don't see until you're in the position. And it's a lot of, you got competing factors. You have different people want different things from you. And it takes a while to figure out how to balance that and how to understand you're not going to keep everybody happy. There's going to be, no matter what decision you make, no matter how much success you've had, there's going to be people who are disappointed or frustrated because, you know, you have to make those tough decisions. But I, you know, I'm lucky. I got a great staff. My assistant, Mike Storley, has he coached for John for a long time, and I consider him one of my best friends, and I completely 100% trust him. I mean, every day he takes the first 15 or 20 minutes of practice, and he does our competitive stuff to kind of get things going and set that tone for what we do. And he does a ton of stuff behind the scenes and is extremely loyal and a extremely good coach. And my lower level coaches, my JV coach, Eric Larson, has been coaching. I poke fun at him. He's been coaching since the 1980s. So he's in his fifth decade of coaching now, but you know,
Hey, don't be ripping that. I think that's a good thing.
It absolutely is. And, he does a ton of stuff, opens the gym up for guys, develops our kids. My freshman coach, or JV2 coach, Rolando Sanchez, has been with me for a few years now too. And he was an assistant, and now he's taken the head job in the JV2 level and doing a nice job with those kids. And the kids really like him. And that's an important part of it. You got to have those guys who
100%.
You trust and can bounce ideas off of. And, you know, I let my staff coach, and I listen to them, and I like to think we're very collaborative, and I try to, as a coach, not have such a big ego where I think I'm always right. And sometimes they'll tell me at halftime of a game, hey, we're doing this, we need to do this. And it might be, yeah, well, I thought we were doing this and it was going to work, and it's not, so we got to do that. And,
yeah.
You know, having that staff that can be honest with you, but that you completely trust to do the right thing is essential.
Hey, really quickly, because we have to get to a break. What about these seniors? Can they come to you and say, hey, look, I think we need to try this, or what about looking at this kid, stuff like that? Are they comfortable with that?
I think so. You know, I trust these guys. Sometimes we just let them sort stuff out on their own. I think these guys are pretty good at that. And that's important that you can trust them. I mean, I trust these guys out in the court where sometimes they make decisions on how to handle something or how to make a little switch defensively when they need to. And,
yeah.
You know, I think it's big as a coach when you can trust your kids to to figure stuff out, and you don't have to dictate every little thing to them.
And love sophomores that become juniors, and then juniors become seniors, because you can really trust them. He is Josh Scatrit. He is the head of basketball coach at Elkhorn, and his wife works at Brookfield East. I'm telling you, she should be at practice. No, I'm just kidding. Coach Rux listens to this stuff all the time. He's Devin Davey and Nick Brown, a couple of seniors from this really good Elkhorn team. We're going to talk a little bit about this sectional. It almost regional sectional looks like a conference tournament, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every year, last few years, that's kind of what it's been.
You get a little tired of that? It'd be nice to play some different
games. Yeah, I mean, we have no influence over that, so we play who's on the schedule.
Yeah, and that's from the guy who's leading the conference right there. That's how that goes. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by our local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented as always by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. So looking at the rankings on wisports.net, and Coach, I know you said, hey, look, I don't care about them. I don't look at them. I don't really care. If you were to look at them, if I were to tell you that right now you're not in the top 10, is that – Can you get your kids to play with a chip on their shoulder because of that? Do you need to do that? Do you know these kids have been there before, so they understand it. But there's a little bit of disrespect there.
Maybe. I try to just not worry about stuff like that. I keep mentioning it. We trust our system. We trust our process. We value being competitive as one of our core values and competing just as kind of a non-negotiable. Once in a while, yeah, you can use some stuff like that to get a little extra edge. But ultimately, if that's what you're using, then
not gonna go far.
It's only gonna work so much. So, rankings, all that type of stuff. It's nice they do that stuff, but we're just focused on day in and day out, getting better and doing things the way we need to do them.
Because, these kids, they, by the time they get to the locker room after a game, they know where they are and all this sometimes.
Yeah.
It's so different. Nick, do you guys look at any of this stuff?
Yeah, no, I don't pay a whole lot of attention. I mean, it's just focusing on the end result,
Yeah.
What happens in between doesn't really matter. It's what happens at the end.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, those are the type of things you just really can't control, it's not anything you can do. You can just focus on just getting better and playing hard and working on worrying about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Man, come on. This can't be this good. Where are the other kids of Melkhorn? The kids more like me when I was that age. They got to be out there someplace.
Got them trained well.
Well. Those two that you locked in the car that you wouldn't let out, that's where the issue is. Hey, this sectional the sectional one that you are in was Social Central sectional. It's Burlington, Delavan, Darien, Elkhorn, Fort Atkinson, Jefferson, Milton, Union Grove, Waterford, Waukesha West with Social Central and Wilmot. Do you look ahead? Do you look at any of that before the CD meeting? Do you do your research the week before, the night before?
I think we always keep an eye on things. One thing that we also pride ourselves on is we feel as a program are always prepared. And part of that is kind of looking ahead early and often and seeing teams that we need to see and getting to games and keeping an eye on them. So we don't look ahead in terms of our focus on a day-to-day basis. But, as a coach, I look into the big picture. I don't want us to get into a game in a playoff where I haven't seen a team or aren't familiar with them. So, we've been watching and we've seen Waukesha West already and we played a bunch of the other schools. So, we know we got some good teams in our regional and sectional and we'll be ready for them.
We always talked about we're not going to look ahead, but we're going to work ahead,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You work ahead.
Absolutely.
Looking at your schedule, and I can't find it right now, but one thing that concerned me a little bit is there's a couple of teams that are going to give you a little bit of a problem. It would have been nice to have maybe a really strong finish, a couple of tough, tough games to get you ready for the playoffs. Any concern with that?
No, I mean, I think we got a pretty tough one coming up this next Friday at Burlington, which is a big conference game, and they're a team. You know, I mentioned Steve is a really good coach, and yep. his kids always play hard and are disciplined. But they're playing really, really well right now. They're, one of their better players was out for till Christmas, Dylan Runkle, who's a guy going to play Division I football, and he's just he's a load inside. And the first time we played him, he was coming back from his broken foot, and he's just getting better and better and better. So, you know, a game like that, and we had a couple big games these last couple weeks with the Westosha and Waterford games, we'll be ready. I mean, it's our schedule's our schedule, and you know, we every day prepare the same whether we're playing the first place team or the last place team.
Are you playing at Burlington?
Yes.
Yep. So they don't do this, I don't think, anymore. I'm not sure. But I went to a game. We used to do high school basketball games on My 24, and I would mm-hmm. I was a color analyst, so I went to watch Burlington play. And I went to a lot of games then, and I was getting sick and tired of the pregame music, you know, the warm-up music. Oh, like, yeah. I'm an old guy. I work here at KISS, but I'm an old guy. And all of a sudden, I looked in, you know, in the end zone, and they're setting up like some band members. I thought, oh, this is good. And there was a girl, and she's kind of a smaller girl, and she looked really uncomfortable, and she's kind of walking around real fast and wasn't really talking to anybody. And I thought, huh, well, she must be setting up the music or something. Well, this band started. They called them the Orange Crush.
Yes, yes. Yep. That's
what this little girl who wasn't talking to anybody, she grabbed the microphone. I thought, huh. And they played the song 25 or 6 to 4 from Chicago, and this girl started singing, and I went, you have got to be kidding me. And I waited for them to get done, and she got done, put the mic down, and walked over to where she was sitting with her parents. And I'm like, I'm going to look like a creepy old man, but I need to find out who this is. And I asked her to come on my show. And she was like, can I go on KISS? I go, no, you can go on the sports station. And it was, she says, well, you have to talk to my parents and then talk to the guy who runs this Orange Crush. And I talked to him. He goes, yeah, that'd be outstanding. I don't know if they still do that, but I'll tell you what. It was a cool place and a good atmosphere to watch a basketball game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always a fun place to play, and they're always good, and they're always ready. So we're looking, you know, not that we got a game Tuesday to take care of, but that'll be a fun one next Friday and a good test for
who
us.
Who do you play Tuesday?
We play at Racine Park. We actually just scheduled them. I got some tape on them. That's what I'll be doing tomorrow. We had a game canceled and the team did not want to reschedule. So we ended up, they needed a game. We needed a game. So
who canceled?
Portage. Okay. Badger North. It was a Saturday where we had a snowstorm. So we were driving 2 hours in a snowstorm. Wasn't something that was ideal.
No, not for anybody. Yeah. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break. Favorite memories. Did you think you know what these guys are going to say? And you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping they have more than just one memory. I'm hoping
they have
a lot of them. So,
and I can tell you how this started, guys. We had some baseball players in, and I thought, well, let me ask him this. And then one kid said, hey, I had a bunt and we won a game because of it. Next kid said, I was catching, and Dakota over there was pitching, and kid hit a fastball so far out of the park that it rolled to the Walmart parking lot. I go, that's your favorite memory? He goes, never seen a ball hit that far. It was hysterical. And so there's a lot of answers like that. And if it's all straight basketball, no problem with that. But we're going to find out. These two seniors from Elkhorn, and these are really nice young men. Their family's going to be, they should be really proud of these kids. And that community should come out and make sure that they support them as they finish their high school career. He's Devin Davey and Nick Brown. This is the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. So the answer's no, Nick?
Yeah, not today.
Not today. Sounds good. That's the only shot. All right. You can let the other people know what we're talking about if you want. I'm not going to go there. But Nick Brown said no. I asked him, but he said no. Devin Davey, let me start with you. You got a lot of basketball to be played yet.
That's right.
In your senior year, a lot. But your favorite memory so far of being part of this Elkhorn basketball team, what is it?
I think it's definitely our state run that we made last year and playing in front of the entire crowd, you know, all those big games. It's just nothing, there's no feeling that's like that when you in the locker room before those games and you're coming out. And then I also think, like, all the players that I've got to guard the past year, you know, we played Tyler Hero my sophomore year. We played Jalen Johnson and Jaden Zachary. We've been playing all those guys and Tyrese Hunter this year. So, I mean, all those great players that I've gotten to guard.
Which one gave you the most trouble?
Probably Jalen Johnson because he's a foot taller than me.
Yeah, so. Other than that, yeah. When Mark Miller starts talking, well, he's 6'9", he handles the ball, and he shoots well, and he jumps well, and he defends. Other than that, this is no big deal.
Right.
Yeah, he's awfully talented. And I like that you just talked about being in the locker room and getting ready and playing in front of, you know, the entire community of Elkhorn. Coach, he didn't say, hey, I hit a game winner. Mm-hmm. He talked about that part. And I that's why I keep asking this question, because I find it fascinating, the answers. I like the kids that say, look, I hit a game winner, and that's what I remember. And then stories like this where he says, look, I guarded some of the best players. Yeah. I guarded a guy, he's making $12 million a year right now playing Miami Heat, you know. Nick Brown, your favorite memory?
Yeah, no, I would definitely have to agree. I mean, last year was magical, like we've said. I mean, it was really cool to be able to go up against, like, all the great teams that we played, and being able to knock off, like, all these teams that were ranked or put ahead of against or before us and stuff, and being able to go out there and just play against all these great players was really, really cool.
Hey, do you guys see a difference now with the teams you're playing against? Because and your coach and I had this conversation before your season started about now people are hunting you. Mm-hmm. You know what? You're no longer you're not hunting these teams because now everybody knows who you are. They all sat throughout the entire state and watched you guys on TV. Whether they were tuning in to see you guys play or tuning in because they kept hearing about this Nicolet team, they tuned in to watch you guys play. And do you feel any different when you're going to schools? Are they giving you more kids coming out, more kids yelling stuff at you? I mean, do you feel different, Nick?
I mean, yeah, I think what's cool about it is it creates a more intense atmosphere, and it's really cool to play in. I mean, going to play games that maybe last year weren't as big are now much bigger game.
Right.
And having that target on our back, I mean, obviously kids come out and they're ready to go and they're riled up, and that gets us going, and I think that's when we play our best basketball.
Yeah, any kids in the Southern Lakes talk a little bit? Do they? Oh, you boys don't, though.
No.
You know, because you don't want Don and you don't want anybody yelling at you. Kim would be all over you. You don't want that, Nick. Don't be having Kim yell at you.
No.
Yeah, and you don't want your younger sister to be upset with
right.
you. I saw you talking a little bit against St. Catharines. Just a little bit, because, hey, Hunter's as good as they get, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Therese Hunter, you've guarded him. You guarded him again this year?
Yeah, we played him this year early in the year, and, yeah, he's a load.
Yeah, he is. Player. He sat right where you're sitting now last year. We had him in studio, and he was one of those kids that was really quiet until about 11:45. And he's like, no, I'm ready to go. I said, man, we got no time left at all. So, Coach, if somebody asks you, and I should have gotten this earlier, what kind of coach you are? Are you a man-to-man guy, or you get the ball up the floor, get the best shot? What's your philosophy?
I'd like to think that our identity is not secret. Defensively, we're a man team. We're a pack line man. It's what we do.
Okay. I'd like to play a little zone sometimes.
We flirted with a little zone earlier this year and played it for about two possessions, and I felt dirty. So, and it's not to say that zone teams are bad. I know there's a lot of teams that play good zone, but I just think part of our identity is we're going to match up and we're going to guard you, and you're not going to get easy baskets against us. We do a little bit of pressing, and that's we've started pressing a little bit more. And I kind of did it because these guys kind of said we want to get the tempo up a little bit. So I think defensively, I think that's part of our identity, is we're a program where we defend and we're going to grind you out, and we're not going to give you easy baskets in the half court. And then offensively, we're a five-man motion team where we have five guys and we move the basketball, and we got guys who can shoot and spread the floor. We still play through the post, and I know a lot of schools don't do that anymore, but I think one of the things we like to do is we still use a guy like Nick and some other guys inside as well.
Yeah. Nick, he doesn't mind playing with his back to the basket, but he doesn't mind facing the basket mm-hmm. either. So, and you got a guy like Devin that can run all day. So you might as well press, right? Yeah, those soccer track guys. And normally they can't shoot a lick. He can't. Normally they can't, but boy, can they defend.
Yeah.
You put him on the team's best player the other day?
Every game.
Every game.
Actually, it's kind of funny that he mentioned Tyler Hero. We played them 2 years ago when Hero was a senior. And
did you play him here at their place?
We played him at Whitnall, and we guarded a man, and that's actually kind of the game where we start, not during so much during that game, but near the end of it, we switched Devin on to Hero, and he started slowing him down a little bit. We slowed him down to the tune of 41 points.
Yeah.
So,
well, hey, Devin, if I guarded him, he'd have that in the first half. So feel good about that. That kid was he was ridiculous. Yeah. I didn't understand how good he was going to be in college. Tom Diener was sitting where you're sitting, and during a break one time, I said, "Is he Kentucky good?" And he goes, "Is he Kentucky good?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "He's a lottery pick good." I go, "Come on." He said, "Yeah, are you kidding?" And I go, "No." He goes, "I don't know if it's year one or year two. And I said, "Coach, I think you're losing your mind." He goes, "He's lottery pick good."
Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's
a talented player.
Yeah, he's just difficult. So 6'9" Nicolay against, and then Hunter at St. Catharines is 6 foot quick kid.
Yeah.
What obviously you said the size, if he's gonna be a foot taller than I am. You like that challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Physically you're okay. Yeah, he's a strong kid, right? Oh, yeah. Could he have guarded you in college?
No way.
How about high school? What about high school?
I took him inside, I think. Yeah. So.
How good was your high school, by the way? Did you guys compete?
We were good. We had, I think, 3 conference championships in my 4 years we played, and we made a sectional. So, it was a good program. I played for a good coach, and Mike Howard, who doesn't coach anymore, he's a principal in Jefferson. But it was a good program, a good coach, and had a great experience.
I think Jefferson's in your sectional,
aren't
they?
They are, yep.
Yeah. You get a chance to play him, he'll be out there yelling at you a little bit.
Well, he's a principal in
Jefferson.
He'll be around him, I'm sure.
I've gotten yelled at by a lot of principals. trust me, they will certainly be there. You feel good about this group, Coach, huh?
Yeah, really good.
I will be certainly watching to see exactly where this thing goes. You play then in – the winner of yours will play the winner of the Baraboo Mount Horeb. Mm-hmm. Have you looked at that group at all?
Absolutely.
Who's the team to beat up there?
I think there's a few teams. We played Monroe and we lost at Monroe, and they're a really good team. It was a tight game that they ended up pulling away a little at the end, but they're good. We know that Stoughton is also really good. DeForest is good, and Reedsburg is really good. So I think those 4 teams are the favorites over there, and I think on any given night, any of those 4 teams could win. So,
boy, I was asked this last year. I think Division II last year was incredible.
Loaded.
Yeah. Loaded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our guys wanted – they kept saying, we'd like to play Nicolay, Coach. Because you know what? And Martin Luther, we were really good last year. I don't know how size-wise. We beat Washington. Mm-hmm. We beat them, and they had all that size, but they weren't, I don't think, as athletic in about 6 different spots.
Yeah.
So, hey, thank you so much.
Oh, this
guys,
is a lot of fun.
I really appreciate you guys coming in, and hopefully you guys got comfortable early, and I appreciate that a lot. And hopefully that you guys had a good time coming in here. And Jeff will have this posted up on the website sometime in the next couple of hours if he can. And if you want to go back and listen to it, if you got family members throughout the country or, stuff like that, send it to that coach. Send it to your brother, Brown, because you said, I'm going to beat him in track. I think you said that. Yeah. You know what? That's awesome. Good luck the rest of the way. Coach, I think this is going to be it's going to be a fun run. There's only a couple weeks left. Has it gone quick for you, by the way?
It always does. It's a long season, but it always goes by really fast.
Yeah. Well, I think after January 1st, the first month and a half was really hard for me. Do you like first practices? I hated them.
Really hated them. I love getting out there.
No, I like that part of it. But now you got new kids, and you got some kids that think they're better. Yeah, whatever. You got to make some cuts. All that. Do you have to cut?
We don't
there?
Cut. No, we don't cut in Elkhorn. So
you don't.
No, we have almost 60 kids out for basketball on all 3 levels. So we got a.
How many kids on varsity?
We have at practice 17 or 18 there most nights.
Wow.
So
You don't cut.
Nope.
That's got to be hard. The kids that are 16, 17, 18 looking to get some time.
As I've said, nobody feels sorry for me that I have too many kids that want to play basketball.
And, no, they don't.
We're up front with how it goes, that we will do our best to give you a great experience. But and our kids, we have good dudes. Even the dudes who don't play a lot, they have a great attitude and work hard.
Hey, last year at Martin Luther, we had two kids that got cut as juniors. And then they came out as seniors. And that conversation, hey, look, and they said, Coach, we will go as hard as we possibly can every practice. We just won't be part of this thing.
And that's something we value, because if a kid wants to come out and be part of it and work hard, we'll find a role for them no matter what it is.
Man, that's awesome. Coach, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's really good. I had a chance to talk to you, and I watched you from afar, and I heard great things about you. Now I understand why. So thank you very much. Devin, thanks.
Yep, thank
well
you.
Done. Nick, you're chicken, just so you know. I'm only kidding, Nick Brown. I'm just kidding. Hey, we'll be in contact next week, and we'll meet at probably that Pick and Save in Maguanago.
All right, great.
If that's okay with you guys, I've got these plaques again from our friends at Ideal Logos and Awards. Good luck the rest of the way, boys.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.